Before Andy comes to share God's word, we're going to read God's word together. And we're going to read from 1 Kings and chapter 8, from page 331 of the Bibles in your pews. Page 331, 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to read from verse 37 to 43, and then 56 to 61. When famine or plague come to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people Israel, being aware of the afflictions of their own hearts, and spreading out their hands towards this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and act. Deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts, for you alone know every human heart, so that they will fear you all the time they live in the land you gave our ancestors. As for the foreigners who do not belong to your people Israel, but have come from a distant land because of your name, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When they come and pray towards this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigners ask of you, so that all the people of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. Verse 56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him, and keep the commands, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God, day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, according to each day's need, so that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is no other. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands, as at this time. May God bless his word to us this morning.
Well, good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come together, to gather together as your church, your people in one place to worship you. And I pray, Lord God, as we try and understand this word that you've given to us, as we learn from your scriptures, may we be challenged, may we grow, may we worship you more, may we worship you better. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing a series that we've been looking at this term on people of mission. This follows last term where we looked at a God of mission, a God who breaks into this world, a God who is essentially missional, who wants to reach people, who has a plan for us. And this morning I want us to look at how that impacts on our lives as people of mission through worship. Last week, Elaine spoke about being attractional by being people who are available for others, for seekers to come and see who we are, see what we're like and how we live our lives. This morning, we're focusing on worship. And there are two concerns, I guess, that I have in terms of this word worship that I want to express right at the beginning. The first one is how we sometimes use this word worship, which has often been used to say that, to describe this, is because we worship is about showing God what he's worth, which in itself sounds great and sounds fantastic. But as I read scripture, I find that often it talks about worship that is unacceptable, worship that isn't acceptable to God. Well, if we're showing God what he's worth, if our worship is about showing God how great he is and how much he is worth, then it's acceptable. So there's a slight concern that I have with how we understand the word worship. The second thing as well is that actually the word, when it was originally written in the Greek and Hebrew in the Bible, meant different things. So we've used different words that we've translated to mean the word worship. So when we understand it, when we read worship in the Bible, it might have meant something slightly different to another time when we read the same word, worship. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick out three of the main words that have been used and translated to mean the word worship. Try and understand it in their context and then work out how that might then apply to us. What can we do with this this thing we call worship? How do we respond? So the three words are to adore, to serve, and to boast. So in our Bibles that we have today, often where it talks about adoring, serving, and boasting, often the word that's been used has been the word worship. To adore is to recognize God as superior above all else, above anything in all creation. To give God our adoration is to say, God, we adore you for who you are. It demonstrates where our worship belongs, who we are worshiping. It is something which is all about God and nothing else. It's all about God. Sometimes when I come to worship, there's a little bit of me in it as well. Do you ever do that? And sometimes there's a little bit that I want to worship this way because this is great for me and this is how I feel good in worship. Adoration isn't about that. Adoration is nothing to do with you or me. It's completely to do with God. It's about our worship of a great and mighty God. I love the picture of Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3 and 4 because it picks up this whole concept of worship and adoration. In Matthew 3, Jesus gets baptized and then in verse 16 it says, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. There is this sense of adoration that Jesus is able to give in that moment to the Spirit of God. There's this wow moment for Jesus. Now Matthew suggests that this is just Jesus who sees this. Just Jesus. If it's just Jesus, he obviously had to be sharing this with other people because these aren't Jesus' words written here. Jesus, this was such a great moment, such a powerful moment, a moment of adoration where Jesus worships the Spirit of God. And then we read the next line, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, the one with whom I am well pleased, the one with whom I adore, the one with whom I worship. There's this sense in which we now have this picture of the Father worshipping the Son, the Father giving adoration to the Son in this baptism moment, in this great moment here of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Trinity together, worshipping and adoring one another. And then after that happens, Jesus is then sent off into the wilderness. He goes off and he's tempted by the devil. And Jesus replies each time to the devil as he tempts him with various different things. And in Matthew 4 verse 10, Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, adore the Lord your God, and serve only him. worship God and serve or worship only Him. I love the picture that this brings of this whole community of God giving us a great example of how we are to worship, of how we are to adore and show our adoration for God. On Easter Sunday at the 11 o'clock service, we're going to have a baptism service here. A baptism service is a moment for us to bring our adoration to God. The baptism candidate comes up to the front, they share their story. And what they're doing when they share their story is they're saying, I adore God. I worship God. This is the one. It's a public declaration of faith. It's saying, this is the one in whom I put my trust. And I want to challenge you, if you're a believer and you've not yet got baptized, I want to challenge you this morning. Come and be baptized. Easter is a great opportunity for us to show our adoration of the true and living God. It's an opportunity not just to do it for us as a congregation, but as a public thing for anyone to witness, for our friends and our families to come and see this is the God we worship. And for the rest of us, come to the baptism service, because we can join with those who are being baptized and say, we are with you. We're here together to worship this God, to adore our King and our God. And for those of you who don't believe, my challenge to you is to say, keep exploring, keep looking into this God with whom we as a church adore, because He's incredible, because He is amazing. See, adoration is about Him. It's not about me. And there's a sense also in Scripture where different people show their adoration for God, and there's almost a foolishness or a seeming foolishness about the things they do and the way they act and the way they demonstrate that worship at that particular time. And it's the same for us, because it's an opportunity for us to say, to strip away anything of us that hinders, because it's not about you or me. The second word which we've used as worship is to serve. And to serve is to give your everything to. To serve is to sacrifice yourself for. And in that very passage where Jesus, in Matthew 4 verse 10, where Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. That's that same word, to serve God only, to worship Him only. Not only does Jesus talk about worshipping God, He clearly shows it by His actions, doesn't He? Even in that temptation time, those 40 days where Jesus is tempted by Satan, there He is worshipping God in His service, in the way He chooses not to give in to temptation. Jenny Jones. 2 weeks ago, did anyone know who Jenny Jones was? Some of you still might be slightly confused. Jenny Jones won Olympic bronze for Team GB just over a week ago. And at that time, just after that moment, she got a tweet from Andy Murray. And Andy Murray said, Jenny Jones, bronze Olympic medalist. Hashtag all in. For those of you who don't know, hashtags are it's a bit of a Twitter thing, but it's Andy Murray put hashtag all in. And there's a reason behind that, because the hashtag all in thing is to do with Adidas. And Adidas is Andy Murray's sponsor. And Adidas have this marketing campaign about being all in. And they have a statement which talks about what that means, what it means to be all in. This is their statement. We give everything we've got. Then we go back for more. No doubts. No holding back. No giving in. The court to the catwalk. The stadium to the street. Whatever the game, we play the same. Head, heart over head, inclusion over ego, united by passion, we go all in. I love that statement. I mean, Adidas clearly are doing it for the from a sporting perspective or a clothing perspective. But what's way, way more important and significant than a game of tennis or snowboarding? No disrespect to those two sports. But it's the worship of our God and our King. Now, if we take this as a worship statement, how powerful is that? Let's read it again as a worship statement. We give everything we've got. Then we go back for more. No doubts. No holding back. No giving in. The court to the catwalk. The stadium to the street. Whatever the game, we play the same way. Heart over head. Inclusion over ego. United by passion. We go all in. People, if our worship is to be acceptable to God, acceptable to Him, we need to be all in. All in. Every bit of us. Every part. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like there's a bit of me that's just kind of holding back a little bit. And there are bits that I just think, oh, you know, I quite like that part of my life. But God's saying, I want you all in. I want every bit of you, every part of who you are in service to me. It's complete surrender, complete sacrifice in everything that we do. The question for you this morning is, are you all in? Are you all in for God? In your worship, are you all in? Because that is acceptable worship to God. Anything else isn't acceptable. All in is what God demands of us. Now that passage from Matthew chapter 4 verse 10 where Jesus says, worship the Lord and serve him only. The context of that comes from Deuteronomy. Jesus was very good at getting the context right, which you'd expect, obviously. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is the context of Jesus saying, worship God and serve him only. It's a well-known passage, Deuteronomy 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances, that the Lord your God charged me, that's Moses, to teach you to observe in the land that you're about to cross into and occupy, so that you, your children, and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, hear Hartford Baptist Church. It doesn't say that. I'm just adding that bit. And observe them diligently so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. All in, every bit of you. That is what God is asking of us in our worship, in our service to him. That's what 1 Kings picks up on as well, this sense of fearing the Lord and living our lives completely for him. Giving God everything, supporting one another, encouraging one another, working together. You see, God calls us to a life of acceptable worship. Worship which he accepts. That is a worship which is completely devoted to him. Hashtag all in. If you're on Twitter, that's what I want to see over the next couple of weeks. Hashtag all in. The third thing that I want us to pick up on in terms of worship, and a word which is used to mean worship, is to boast. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've had some extreme weather conditions in the last couple of weeks. Has anyone seen that? We had a great fun day the other day, sandbagging the church. That was real good fun. I enjoyed that. But actually, my focus and my distraction has been slightly on the southwest, because partly because I've got a house in the southwest, and I've got lots of friends in the southwest and used to live there for some time. And they've had some horrendous weather, 30 feet waves crashing into the sea wall, destroying sea walls, destroying railway lines, flooding which has just swept through villages and towns. And people can do nothing about it. To boast is to rave about. It's to go over the top. It's to say, wow, isn't our God incredible, all-powerful, amazing? It's an alleluia moment. I don't know if you've ever known where the word alleluia comes from. The word to boast is hallel. Hallelujah. To boast in, or to boast over Yahweh, God. To boast in our God. That's what hallelujah means. And it's about saying, God, you are all powerful. There is nothing anyone can do except worship you, because you are incredible. Because you are mighty. There's a couple of ways in which we can understand this word hallel that I want to pick up on, this word that's been translated to talk about worship, because I found this really exciting and interesting. The first one is about a shrinking. Now, that might seem a strange thing to do, but I don't know. I used to have tortoises, and have you ever tapped a tortoise on the nose? You tapped a tortoise on the nose. Have you seen what it does? It kind of shrinks right back into its shell. A shrinking is to say, what happens is when we boast on God, we make ourselves small. We shrink back. We say, actually, I am less. And as we do that, we promote God all the more. We say, God, you are great. I am less. You are more. I am weak. You are strong. It's almost a way of retreating, to allow others to see how great God is. We boast in God by removing ourselves and by allowing people to see God. And the second thing is a purifying. There is a sense in which this is a purifying thing. You know that moment where Peter comes before Jesus. Jesus does an incredible thing, and Peter comes before him and he says, "Away from me, for I am a sinful man." You know, sometimes I've read that and thought, oh, Peter, come on, you got it wrong. But actually, Peter got it exactly right. This was a Hallel moment. This was a moment where Peter was saying, you are great. You are incredible. You're amazing. And I recognize that there is a change that needs to be made in me. I need to change. And as I see and as I worship you, God, I recognize that there needs to be some kind of purification because of your greatness before me. There's a process that goes on. There's a cleansing that needs to go on in us as we boast on our great God. So worship is to adore, to serve, and to boast. And this is something for us in our own lives, but it's something for us as church together. It's important, and the passage that we heard from 1 Kings draws on this really well, in that it picks up the whole concept, this whole idea that actually we're a community of believers, that as we worship God together, as we adore God, give God our adoration, as we serve God in worship, as we boast on our God, other people see and look at us and say, that is the God they worship. We recognize the God they worship because we can see it in the way they live their lives, in the things that they say. May people be in no doubt as to the God with whom we worship. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're a great and mighty God. And Father, this morning, we give you our adoration. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for what you've done for us. We thank you that you are our Creator God, you are our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. May we be people who are all in for you, who are prepared to sacrifice so much to give you glory, to worship you. And may we also be people who boast on you, who recognize your greatness, and who want to share that with others. We pray these things in your name. Amen. We're going to sing together now before we come to communion. We're going to sing Here I Am, which is a song that lays ourselves out before God. It says, here I am. God, do what you will with me. Do what you want with me. And let us mean those words as we sing them, as an act of worship to God. Let's sing together. Stand and sing. Here I am.